Good morning and welcome to the Murrawarn Musings. I think that's what we call this program. It's about what's going on at Murrawarn, and maybe Sally Forrester will be here, and maybe she won't. But either way, I am joined in the studio, not that I'm falling apart, by Holly Humphreys.
Morning, Bob.
Hi. How are you?
Good. It's good to see you back.
It's good to be back.
Your voice back on radio.
Good to see your face.
Yeah, you too.
So, Holly, you're here mostly today on this program to talk about a program that you're offering at Murrawarn, yes?
Correct.
And it's fully booked.
Yeah, it's fully booked.
So we just play some music and move on.
We don't need to talk about it.
We do need to talk about it because it's a really interesting and important thing. It's about how we interact with the overwhelming, well, sometimes apparently overwhelming, tides of Chinese visitors and how we best learn to talk to them, really. Yes?
Yeah, it's I've been down here for a couple of years and been working down here in a small business and been observing whilst I've been living down here and learning more about the community and about the tourism industry here. And I previously lived in China for 5 years. I worked in education and in events, and naturally that influenced my observations and is the lens that I kind of look at tourism in Apollo Bay through. And I think we can do better to engage with the Chinese guests that visit Apollo Bay. One of the biggest findings for Tourism Australia, with a special focus on the Chinese region or Chinese Tourist Australia, is that we don't have enough training around cultural norms, Chinese cultural norms.
Yep.
So that's really what the program is that I'm rolling out for 6 weeks in October to November. Mm. So it'll be about 2 to 2.5 hours on Thursday nights, and there's 6 different topics that we'll cover. The first one we're going to talk about is just geography, and partly why I start with geography is because there's 52 or 53 different ethnicities across China. Geography dictates what kind of cuisine is eaten across China. It says a lot about the people. It says a lot about the history. And then we move through to a more practical exercise. We do an exploration through food and dining and etiquette, and then other cultural influences such as traditions, festivals. We'll talk a little bit about Chinese social media, because that's important for businesses down here, and what perhaps is the best angle for businesses to be taking, and just to understand how Chinese people use social media, because it's different.
Isn't it? I saw a little tiny snippet of the shopping ladies in Melbourne in Australia that descend with their iPhones really and just go to shops and stream things, and then are therefore responsible for huge,
Influences. It's incredible. And everybody in China has, majority of people in China have a phone, whether or not it's a smartphone, and access to WeChat, which will give them that constant streaming. Instagram is becoming more popular in China if you can get behind the Great Firewall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's understanding that as well, that you don't have access to all of the same websites. I remember living in China, it was extremely difficult for me to use Google and my Gmail account. So just understanding the Great Firewall of China and trying to work around it.
We had a delightful young Chinese engineer as a workaway with us, a 32-year-old guy, a civil project engineer doing big stuff in China. A really interesting man, and he said, oh yes, the firewall, we all get around it. He said the thing about getting around it is you just know that they know
that you're getting around
that
it.
You're on the other side, and so you know that you're getting extra attention.
Well,
so
it is that is how you feel when you're there. I remember making Skype calls to my family and thinking, I wonder if someone's listening, or I wonder if someone's, if there's the record of the conversation there, and I'm sure there is. So, also, which is basically going to be put back onto the participants, they will be also engaging with a Chinese person who lives in Apollo Bay.
Okay.
When I lived in China, when I was studying about a decade ago, there was a thing in China called English Corner.
Mm.
So I would catch up with a Chinese person in a cafe and sit with them for an hour and speak English with them.
Mm.
And the agreement was that they would then speak Chinese with me, although we ended up always speaking English because it was the sure. easy way out.
Yeah.
But I want to do the reverse here and also hopefully create stronger relationships with the Chinese community that we have living in Apollo Bay.
So have locals spending time attempting to get some working Chinese going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, well, also not just about language. Yes, it would include language and simple phrases and because I can't tell you how often people get excited when I say one thing in Chinese and it's – and then I just keep speaking Chinese and they kind of get over it because they're like, oh, yeah. But because it's funny, when in China and here, when I say something in Chinese, I think at first people think – I can't speak Chinese, or I'm just saying something to something tokenistic. But then when I keep speaking, they completely forget, and they stop. I think they stop seeing me
as another, and
we just fall into that cultural exchange, which is really lovely. That was a huge thing for me when I lived in China, and I crossed over from being a student trying to speak Chinese to
a competent speaker.
Yeah, that's right.
So is that the biggest challenge?
The language?
Yeah. I mean, what is the biggest challenge, really?
For us, I think it's that we are not actually catering culturally to these people. I don't think it's the language. I think we could do better with language. I think we could translate better on websites. I think we could offer more menus in Chinese for a more streamlined experience. But I think it is actually that engagement and understanding that what is and isn't okay, what respect means in China, what body language means. Like, for example, in Australia, when we work in business, we work more confrontational. Like, we will bring things up and we will be outspoken. I'm generalizing, but that's encouraged. Whereas in China, that is not encouraged. You're not encouraged to speak out or to be too loud or proud. Mm. You'll often find if you take a photo of a group of Chinese people, they won't be smiling in the photo because that would be drawing too much attention. Stand there more kind of reserved. I think reserved is probably a better term for it. I think the millennials in China are changing a little bit, but that's certainly present in China. So I don't think language is our biggest challenge. I think it's that we're not actually offering anything that's really at a premium end for the Chinese travellers coming down here.
So it's not language, it's a more fundamental understanding of that culture and what's important and what's not.
Yeah, and what I hope happens because at the end of the day, it does come down to our tourism industry here in Apollo Bay. I hope that people are able to create projects when their businesses, no matter how small, that are directed at enhancing the Chinese guest experience.
Well, that's interesting because just sitting here thinking, I can imagine that, you know, there's an Australian response that says, well, this is Australia, this is the way we do it, mate. You come here to check it out. This is how we do it.
Well, take culture out of it, and it's about human relationships.
Yes, yes.
It's not about us and them. I think that's a really big. I think that's not the way.
It's an initial stumbling block. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think that I'm alone. I mean, you have your workaway guests come and stay with you. I'm not alone in wanting that cultural diversity in my life. And even though we're in Apollo Bay with 1,600 people, is it the population here?
Something like that. Yeah, growing like stink.
We are diverse.
Yeah.
And we have, being a coastal town, we have a lot of nationalities living here. We can we can fight against it and stay home and not embrace it, or we can
sure.
we can talk to each other and
yeah.
And be better people. I'm a better person from having lived in China, for sure.
Mm.
I've learned all sorts of I've learned a lot about patience. I've learned about flexibility, because in China the rules can change every day. So what's one rule one day can change the next. And that took me years to get past. Because especially in business, I was so frustrated.
Mm.
I understand that, you know, this morning I said I'd meet you, Bob, here at 10 o'clock.
Mm.
I understand that in China that might be 10 past 10.
Okay.
It might be quarter past 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And
wow.
I don't need to be offended by someone not being
upset.
There on time.
Yeah.
It's not about respect. It's about being flexible.
Mm. Wow.
So that's made me, I think, a better person.
Mm.
And that's not because of China it's because I've been exposed to cultural diversity.
I had a lesson from this same young fella because our work away people, I mostly cook and they do the washing up and put stuff away.
Mm.
And he did the washing up and put stuff away, but he left the pots out. And I didn't say anything. He said, "Oh, I left the pots out." I said, "Oh, that's okay." He said, "Yeah, I got confused." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you have so many pots. My mother only ever used one."
Yeah.
That's right. And so there was like a whole lot of information, and for me, just about how excessive we are. How many pots do I really need?
Yeah.
That was a really gentle response, I thought, and a really great conversation to have.
Yeah, we have all sorts of cutlery for all sorts of dishes, and in China you have chopsticks and a spoon for everything.
Yeah.
For breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I actually really like that about the Chinese language as well. It's very direct. There's no words aren't wasted in the grammar structure and in and using vocabulary. You don't waste any words. I mean, of course you could waste them in a sense if you're trying to talk someone up a little bit, but in the grammar structure, there's no waste of words, and I think that's always fascinated me as well.
All right. So this course is fully booked. It's at 6 weeks? 6 week?
Yeah, it's course? 6 weeks.
Okay. Obviously, it's already going to go well. When are you doing the second one?
Well, next year. We'll see how this pilot program goes. I used to work with teenagers in China, so middle year students, in some sense, in a very similar way. We were doing a cross-cultural program in China, but there was no business side to that education. So I'm looking forward to working with adults in this under this topic. And if people are interested, I'd like to continue. I think it's so important.
Absolutely. It'd be great to have a kind of ongoing conversation and exploration. I mean, have you spoken to many Chinese tourists that have come here? You probably have.
Yeah, and because it's Mid-Autumn Festival this week and it's the National Week from October 1st, so the week after next, there's lots of Chinese guests coming through at the moment. Yeah, I talk to them all the time.
So what do they think of the food that we eat? I mean, aside from a certain restaurant that will remain nameless.
Chinese people love seafood.
Okay.
They love seafood.
Yeah.
So they have stopped in Apollo Bay because they are either spending the night here. I'm finding more people are spending the night here.
Mm.
And they want fresh seafood,
so,
particularly crayfish.
Okay. So they actually enjoy going up to the co-op and getting half a crayfish and a salad.
Yep. I've had a couple of people ask me this week where they can get crayfish. And even though I said it's not cray season at the moment, but you might be able to get some up at the co-op.
Yeah. And I've often seen them tucking into the fish and chips sort of along the front street there and just wondered, you know, whether they're enjoying that because that's what they want to eat or whether that's all there is, you know.
There's lots of different cuisines offered in Apollo Bay. You know, there's, I think, five Chinese restaurants or something in Apollo Bay.
Yeah.
Which, just like tourists, Western tourists do when they go overseas to Asia, they will find Western food or Western fast food because that's comfortable and
they kind of
know.
And so their expectation around that is kind of around fast food, you know, something to have when you get
off the bus,
not
I think if you think about New York, for an example, or Shanghai, cities that have really large populations, you can get anything you want on demand and it'll be quick. So that's the same. That's the same in China, and that's Chinese expectation is that everything is fast. In China, the public transport, like, it's amazing that buses come every other minute to cater for the masses of people to move, and I love that, and I really miss that about living in China. Yep. Obviously, it's very different in Apollo Bay. And even in Melbourne, I used to get lost on trams after I moved back to Australia. It's ridiculous. I was like, how did I work this out in China, and I can't work it out here? But I think what we – and I'm excited to see what happens with the wildlife park, because wildlife and nature is – where Chinese tourists want to spend their money. That's what they want. They want to see, they want authentic experiences, something they can take photos of and show their family back home.
Yeah, we have a few koalas come and go at home, and if, especially, well, any workaway people, but if we have Chinese or Asian people, they just go nuts when there's a koala, you know, on the front porch or up the tree. The other really interesting, excuse me a minute, frog in the throat. The other really interesting anecdote for me was that I think she was Chinese or Korean, I've forgotten, and that's probably, it's a long time ago, and I'm an old man. So we had this young workaway woman staying with us, and there was a job that we were having trouble doing, you know, so something that was, some project that wasn't working out. And I said, oh, not to worry, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And she freaked out. She said, oh, you're not going to skin the cat. You're not to take the skin from the cat. And it took me, because of the language, she didn't have great English, it took me, I don't know, 20 minutes to explain that this was a figure of speech and no cat was was involved. I mean, it's funny in hindsight, but at the time, she was really disturbed. She was,
and not that it's really sarcasm, but sarcasm does not exist. Look, it does exist in China, but it is definitely not normal.
Yeah.
So when I find that when I'm speaking with Chinese people, I have to be really careful to not be sarcastic, because people will take what I say personally. Yeah. And as Australians, we're very good at being sarcastic.
Yeah, you bet.
And taking the piss out
of each other. It's a national sport. Yeah, you bet. Yeah.
So that's something that I've had to remind myself every time I'm working with Chinese colleagues.
Okay. So it's six sessions. How many people are enrolled?
At the moment, I'll have to double check with Sal.
Oh, there's Sally.
Who's just arrived. Morning, Sal.
So it's six sessions and probably 20 people. Sally, you've got a microphone. There you go.
Good morning, good morning.
Hi.
Running a bit late, am I?
No, you're on Chinese time. I've just been learning about being flexible.
Time,
yes. Yeah.
Good. Good morning. Anyway, where were we?
So we're fully booked with six sessions. How many people are attending, roughly?
We've got eight.
Eight. Okay.
Yes. And really excited about how popular it's been. Don't need to have a chat with Holly about maybe running something next year in 2019.
She's already getting ready for that.
Good, because we've got big plans.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Holly and I pretty much thrashed this topic out. Why don't I play some music and then you and I can chat about whatever else is happening at Murrawarne.
Love to.
Good idea. This is 3ABR and it's a program called Murrawarne Musings. That's a little desert music, and I could tell you why I played a bit of desert blues, but I won't. I won't bore you with that. We're here to talk about Murrawarne, aren't we, Sally?
Yes, we are, Bob.
Murrawarne is a magnificent community house. It's probably the best one in the neighbourhood.
Well, I've been checking other ones out. I have to say I'm pretty proud of our little house.
The next thing we're doing, and I happen to, because I know someone on the reference group, the next thing we're doing is just inviting people in. to just eat and talk.
Yeah, have a little chat. Yeah. I want to know what other community groups are doing in the area, and I want to see how we can all help each other out a little bit better, or how I can help.
Chat without agenda. We.
We. Yeah. We can help. Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. So we've just had a long chat with Holly, who's still here.
Still here.
Still here.
Myself.
About the Chinese program. What's it actually called? What's the Chinese thing actually called? Introduction to China Interact?
Creating Conscious Hosts.
Creating Conscious Hosts. Now, there's a bit to think about. That's good. It's a great title. Yeah. So we know pretty much all about that and that it's booked out. But it will be interesting, maybe towards the end of the course, to chat to some of the people that have done it on the radio to talk about, you know, what was easy and what was challenging, not to do any acquittals or anything.
No, there will be a feedback form.
Get a bit of
due diligence.
Yeah, a bit of a chat might. I'd be really interested to see how what people thought and how they felt about it.
Just because there are other areas in the region looking at us to see how this rolls out. Mm. So we've had a bit of interest from down the coast towards Anglesey, and we've also had a bit of interest from Colac as well. Mm. So, you know, we're just not the only little pocket that needs to up our game in terms of
absolutely
that side of things. Yeah.
And other stuff?
Other stuff. Well, it's school holidays at the moment. I don't know if you've noticed that there's a lot more kids riding around on bicycles.
They don't want to work. That's the trouble.
I think it's illegal for them when they're 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, well, no, the older ones.
Oh, the older ones.
They don't want to cut grass. They don't want to.
All right.
Tote that bale or lift that hay, nothing. No.
Well, times have changed.
The times have changed. Well, we've got something for them to do that's actually not on a screen or a device, so the parents might be a bit happy with that.
Yep.
So if you have children aged 12 and up, they are more than welcome to come to the free art session that's presented by the Colac Youth Hub at Marawarn on Thursday the 4th from 10 till 2.
Mm-hmm.
So Scarlett runs the Youth Hub up there, and they have a Colac Otway Arts Trail Youth Program. So they are running a bit of an art competition, and she would love to come down and see as many youth as she can. She's going to do some art projects with students.
Okay, how old do those people need to be?
12 and up.
12 and over?
Yes, 12
all
and over.
All the way to 18-year-olds, I guess.
Yep, they could come down. She's just 25 as well, but you might be off in your job doing that. Mm. But she will help students create their own piece of artwork that's a reflection of their life in Apollo Bay.
Fantastic.
We'll get the crafty kits out and make a bit of a mess so they can drop in between 10 and 2, and there will be snacks provided because teenagers need to eat.
They do, and then the stuff will go on the Marawarn website, I'm sure, and probably in the news sheet, maybe.
All of the above, and on Facebook.
Yeah, great.
Yep, terrific. And on Facebook. Yep. The other thing we've got going on for term two is a course about writing winning grant applications.
Are they queued up for that? I would imagine people will be.
Oh, we are. Yeah. There's a couple of places left.
Yep.
We'll get Rhiannon, who's presenting, to come and talk more in depth next week about it. But it's really been developed for not-for-profit organisations specific to Apollo Bay and the region. Rhiannon has a wealth of knowledge writing grants for the area. So that is starting on Monday the 15th of October, and that will run for 6 weeks from 6:30 till 8:30.
Great.
So again, you can jump on the Marawarn website, mwnh.org, and book from there.
Just Google Marawarn.
Or you could Google Marawarn.
Mm, with an R.
Yeah.
Is that about it?
No.
No more.
No,
of course it's not it.
We've got lots going on. More plug.
No.
We're starting up a new carers group. So if you're a carer in the region, it means you might look after an elderly relative or a friend next door. Anyone that you spend time caring for, sometimes that can increase your mental load. So we are developing a group specifically for carers in the region. It will meet monthly and we will go out and do lots of interesting things around the region. So we're going to start off meeting at Hello Coffee, so a bit of coffee and cake.
Yep.
And then we'll plan out what we want to do every month. So we'll be going to Colac, watching a movie. We'll be opening the galleries up around Apollo Bay and having a look at them.
Mm.
We'll just do different outings every month.
So if you take a bit of responsibility for anyone, really, you know, a next door neighbour that you just do a bit for occasionally, or your mum or your sister, your brother, whatever. If you
and children,
yeah,
you know,
and kids, yeah,
and kids. You know, you might have a kid who's high needs, and you need to have a chat with other people who are in a similar situation.
Yeah.
So just, you know, come and touch base with us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. And get together with a group of other folk. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, we're starting that on Thursday, the 18th of October, and we'll be meeting at Hello Coffee at 2 p.m. But if you contact Marawan to book in, would be great.
You'll be invading Hello Coffee. You might there'd be a lot of people in Apollo Bay that keep an eye out for someone else that, you know, you might have to book the joint out.
Absolutely. That's what I want. I want to book the joint out. There are a lot of people, and there are a lot of people who don't realise that they're doing it.
Mm. Yes.
And I think that's a broader conversation we need to have about making sure everyone's looking after their own.
We can have a carer chat on the radio.
We will do that.
But for now, clock on the wall says it's 10:30 and you've had your money's worth.
Brilliant.
Is there anything else we want to say?
No, not at this point.
What's on the menu, Holly? This is not a plug. This is a genuine interest. What's happening? Anything interesting happening on the menu?
Yeah, we've got some really beautiful and fresh whole fish.
Yep.
We've got in some snapper, flathead.
He loves to go down to the wharf and wrestle the fish off the out of the boats.
He actually likes to get wakame.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we have wakame on the menu, some venison.
Mm.
There's a lot of seafood on the menu at the moment. It's a really great time of year.
Oh, wow. Anyway, enough of all that. This has been Marawan Musings, and we might be back next week. Or
we are back next week.
We're back next week. Maybe on Monday, is it? Yeah, because I'm not here on Tuesday. Anyway, we'll be back, and we'll be podcast, and we'll be doing all those things. We'll be all over Facebook, and we're good for you, and you're good for us. Thank you for listening.